Now, from here, let's go into the area of personal income and deductions for a few items. And we're going to start on page 29 in the outline. Page 29, item 2, at the very bottom of the page. And as part of the Consolidated Appropriations Act last December, Congress extended a particular exclusion from gross income. And recall that cancellation of indebtedness generally is gross income unless we can find an exclusion. And one of those exclusions is for qualified real property business indebtedness. Sorry, wrong case. That was the case we talked about earlier. So that was the Hussey case. Here we're talking about qualified principal residence indebtedness. And qualified principal residence indebtedness, recall, essentially is acquisition indebtedness. It's debt used to acquire the taxpayer's principal residence. And there's a limit on how much you can exclude. The limit on the exclusion is up to $750,000 of qualified principal residence indebtedness. That limit used to be $2 million. That was changed in subsequent legislation down to $750,000. This exclusion had expired, and it is a perennial extender. And most recently, Congress, in the Consolidated Appropriations Act last December, extended it through 2025. So it's in effect for 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25. All right. From here, let's go to page 30, page 30, item 5. And on page 30, item 5, we see a summary of a provision from the American Rescue Plan, which is the legislation enacted in March of this year, that also deals with cancellation of indebtedness. And what this provision does, it's a new, it's an amendment to Section 108F of the code. And the amendment says that a taxpayer can exclude from gross income the cancellation of student loans. And this is in effect for 2021 through 2025. Now, there's a particular definition of student loans for this purpose, but my reading of this is it's broad enough to cover the vast majority of student loans that are out there. It would cover student loans from the Department of Education, the biggest lender. It would cover student loans from a private lender, you know, let's say Sallie Mae or somebody like that, or a bank. It would cover student loans provided by the school itself that are then canceled. Now, one situation it does not cover is it does not include amounts from cancellation of loans that are done by an educational organization or a private lender on account of services performed for the lender. So if the student, say, were providing services to the university, and the university then canceled the loan, this is saying, well, that's not going to be excludable from gross income. That's a fairly, I've not seen situations like that very commonly. On the other hand, if we have situations where somebody gets a loan as a student because they agree to, go do community development work in a rural area, I think that's excludable. Those aren't services provided to the lender. Those are services provided to somebody else. So the message is cancellation of student loans is excludable from gross income generally. The question I have after looking at this is, how do you get a student loan canceled? You know, that's extraordinarily difficult. You can't even get them discharged in bankruptcy generally. So there are some narrow situations like disability where you can get them canceled. But otherwise, I'm not sure exactly what Congress's focus was in enacting this this provision. All right, on page 30, that same page, item 1 at the bottom of the page is a long write-up on an issue that arises from the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act back in 2017. And recall, in that legislation, Congress limited the deduction on Schedule A of an individual's tax return for state and local taxes. And that limitation is $10,000. So that's whether it's a single person or a joint return, that limit is $10,000, which is easy to exceed, especially when you're in a state with an income tax and you add up property taxes, et cetera.